Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
In studio now, the Slay Ride. Ron Slay has walked in with Ramon Foster again, back for another week, and we're pleased to be to have them in studio for the hour. Guys, last week was awesome. Let's do it again.
Is this a regular segment? Is it happening?
It can be.
Is it happening?
If the powers of be are listening, this can be.
Well, we'll let you be the spokesman since you were with us first. Is this actually all coming together?
Most definitely
coming
together.
We make this keep going. I'm all for it.
You guys
come back with high regard from our listeners after last week, so we'll take it.
What do you think about that, Ramon?
I'll take that. I like that. That's good. That's good being in high regard. So please don't put us in low regards.
Got to see my cleanup man. Like.
Ramon, last week you mentioned that you'll be a free agent. Did your Twitter blow up locally, or did you hear about that at all?
It did. Yeah, it did blow up a little bit, but I think I said it on air, man. I think the Titans got a good thing going on right now. Their left guard is a very solid guy in Quentin Spain. I'm actually shocked.
He, too, is a free agent.
Yeah, he, too, is a free agent. One of my I had somebody come by the house yesterday. It was a volunteer fireman, and he was excited to, like, talk and stuff. He was like, yeah, Quentin Spain stays down the street. I'm like, oh, really? So I ended up adding him on Instagram. So I think I think camaraderie of a group is awesome. Would I love it to save money and not have to move my household back and forth to Pittsburgh? I think it sounds good, but I know those guys will probably commit to him, and that's a good thing for them.
What do you make of Mike Munchak, who said it's pretty much about his daughter, her family and his other daughter who lives in Los Angeles going to Denver, but with everything that's going on in Pittsburgh, to lose him, one of the best, not just one of the best offensive line coaches, I think most people would argue one of the best position coaches in the league, that's a shot.
It was huge, but I think we all kind of knew it. Nobody wanted to face the reality. We were in our group chats, of course, everybody going back and forth, like, well, Munch's name is really strong as the head coach thing, and when we found out, you know, that he stayed in Denver, and we was like, eventually, like, that's for his daughter. Like, he's there to see his granddaughter for the first time. I mean, well, not for the first time. Spend some time with her being Denver, and not a huge shocker. I think it'd be the letdown for guys that are still in Pittsburgh for Coach Munch being missing. Great guy, man. He's a dude that when he talks, you listen. I think he'll be good for the O-line moving forward.
This just in, Ramon Foster, Quentin Spain will have an arm wrestling contest on air to decide the left guard spot for the Tennessee Titans. No, obviously joking.
Obviously.
So last week, I mentioned this when we announced, I guess a couple days ago, Hutton, that Ron and Ramon would be joining us again. I said I knew this could be a good weekly thing when during one of the breaks, Ramon brought up, we were talking about Yao Ming about something, and Ramon asked the question I never really thought about. He said, do you guys think that his parents were put together to create Yao Ming, that they were
arranged,
discovered by the Chinese government, and that it was an arranged marriage, the two tallest people in the country, and then out came Yao Ming. And I thought to myself at that point, I'm like, this could be a weekly thing.
When you showed
that depth,
I got you going, man, and that's what it's all about. But think about it. They put their athletes in a school, a system. So for Yao Ming to come out the way he did, in the sense of the way their government controls people and how you got to have a born son and whatnot, I wouldn't doubt it. I don't have the facts behind it, but I think that's something that should be looked up.
You know, it's we talked about this also, but 60 Minutes did a profile of this artificial intelligence guy, and he's in China now. He's from Taiwan. He was educated in the U.S. He's moved back. He's been an investor for like 50 different billion-dollar companies. And he has this facial recognition technology where he can put it on a classroom of 8 and 9-year-olds all over China. And it shows how engaged they are, how concentrated they are, how smart they are. And then he was asked, well, how's the Chinese government using this? And he wouldn't answer. He said, well, I'm a venture capitalist. So, you know, I'm here at the grace of the regime, basically. But I don't know how they're going to use that. But it does make you think about what could be done.
Yeah, artificial intelligence is a huge thing these days, number one. One of our team investors, you guys probably heard, Thomas Toll, he's a guy that has a company with a good friend of his, Ken. And that's what they do. They've gone as far as now as having like artificial intelligence outside the stadiums, and they're working some of the security, from what I understand. And like they know of fights in the stadium way before the security does, because guess what? Phones turn on, videos are uploaded, people are talking about it before the security in the stadium knows, and that's one of the craziest things I've ever heard.
Oh,
so you on?
On the sidelines in NFL games, multiple times in away venues, people will come up to me with Titans Radio, and they'll ask to see my credential because it's covered up by my jacket. Like they're zoomed in on me to see if they can visually see my credential from up top. Yeah. And when they can't, they radio down.
So I imagine you guys are on Facebook. The big thing on Facebook, we talked about this the other day, is this 10-year thing.
Yeah.
Post your thing and show us how much you've changed in 10 years, which led immediately to some artificial intelligence people saying, if you were building technology to do facial recognition and deal with aging, this would be incredible data if you gave me side-by-side pictures of people 10 years older. Buy into that?
That's basically, yes, absolutely. I buy into it.
And when everybody's hook, line, and sinker, hey, look how great I look at them.
Exactly. They basically said, thank you. Thank you guys for showing us who you are. So when you commit this crime three months from now, I already know what you look like.
The only thing the 10-year challenge has showed me is that filters are great today.
Yes, filters are great.
I mean, you see the ones without the filters, and I'm like, yeah, everybody looks better because they put a great filter on.
Chad's like, look how much better I look, or I did look. I'm thinking everyone that posted that, I wasn't one. Everyone that posted that, they think they're better, or they think they haven't aged a bit. They're like, look how much I have not aged.
Yeah. No.
They all think that.
Far from the truth. But yeah, I saw that on the news this morning. I think all those security companies are basically like, thank you guys, and thank you again, Facebook. I hope it doesn't come up again where Facebook is like, yeah, we had a breach of security again. We know what everybody looks like now.
Zuckerberg's have to go in front of Congress again. Guys, I swear we weren't intentionally doing this.
Got him.
What were you doing 10 years ago, Ron? How have you aged over the last 10 years?
Dunking on you.
I'm at 20. 20 years.
I'm posterizing you.
Probably unable to mention on air in Milan. Ain't no telling. There's no telling.
It was legal there.
Yeah, most definitely.
International waters, that's what we're doing.
I love you, baby. I know you're listening.
They couldn't prosecute because it was in Milan.
No doubt.
Rod Slay and Ramon Foster in studio with us.
He was like the reverse Enos Kanter, where Turkey wants him. The U.S. wanted Ron in Milan, and he wouldn't come back to the States at that time for that reason.
Ghana's Mexican restaurant. I loved it.
Enos Kanter, that will be a 30 for 30, Chad.
Oh, yeah.
Where he doesn't want to travel because he's afraid of assassination.
That's a crazy story.
Oh, my.
The Turkish government's put out a warrant for his arrest. They're trying to extradite him. Yeah, and they played a game in London, and he wouldn't leave because he said he feared either being captured or assassinated.
Hey,
by the Turkish government.
Have you seen how their special forces work, though?
No.
Go on YouTube and check it out. They are insane. You know that show, the drill work and stuff like that? Their special forces are out of this
Turkey?
World. So, yeah, he's right not to want to do that. Yeah, I agree with him. No, but that's a conspiracy, though, right?
Yeah, that's not true, Mom.
That's not true.
So Tennessee scored 106 points the other night, and Rick Barnes was angry after the game. We got to ask Ron about his impression of that. And we have to get back into the Gator Chomp. The technical. If anyone knows about a technical foul or acting up at Memorial Gym, it's Ron Slay. Ask him about the Saban Lee technical foul. Also want to ask about Penny Hardaway, not letting things die with Rick Barnes. We'll get into all that when we come back.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's.
Smyrna, 104.5 FM. Franklin, 104.5 FM. Murfreesboro, 104.5 FM. No matter where you listen in Middle Tennessee, you'll always find us on one frequency. 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Ramon Foster and Ron Slay in studio with us for the hour. You can join the discussion at 737-1045. Ron, as the best trash talker in Tennessee basketball history.
Man, great accolade.
How would you?
Can I go on the Raptors for that?
Yeah,
The trophy's taking a long time. Okay. We've got somebody working.
Okay, that's cool. Okay,
how would you evaluate the Gator Chomp that took place last weekend and overall the trash talk assessment of playing there?
I loved every minute of it. I think it should have carried on a little bit longer. I think the bench Should have came onto the floor during the Gator Chomp. Also, you should never leave your teammates out there alone in a hostile environment. They should have came along with Grant Williams and Admiral and Lamonte, Jordan Bowden, Bone, all did the Gator Chomp. I think people as fans don't really know the atmosphere that is created down in Florida, man. The fans are...
It's been amazing, by the way, Nani, and I want to hear your take on this, but everyone who played in the SEC, we had Dane Bradshaw on.
Yeah.
And he immediately said, you don't get how different it is there, the way they put the students on top of it.
I'm telling you, man, it is different. Like Kentucky, they have diehard fans. Georgia, when they're good, they have the same. Like everybody in the SEC, Tennessee also, but...
But they've got the money behind you in Kentucky. Ooh, they've got the students behind you in Florida.
And they got artificial noise. Artificial noise in Rupp Arena. But when you come out of that the tunnel in Florida, man, them fans are right on you. They know everything about you. Mother, sister, father, brother, cousin, uncle. Whatever it may be, it will leave you going back before warm-ups in the locker room talking to your friends like, hey, man, how did he know about my dad was such and such. Like Terrence Woods really asked me, how did they know about my mother? I said, T. Woods, I didn't even know. So I don't know who did their research or what, but they found out about it, man. And wow. It was a great experience. And it's so a funny story. Harris Walker, after we beat them in double overtime, we came in the locker room.
Okay, I saw you say beat them in double overtime.
Isaiah Victor, salute. Yeah, we beat them my freshman year in double overtime. The year they went on to the Final Four. Harris Walker, when we got in the locker room, we're all celebrating. Harris Walker asked Coach Green. Coach Green gave a spiel and was like, anybody got any questions before we head out and get on the plane? Harris Walker raised his hand and was like, Coach Green, can we go back on the court and celebrate some more? Like, that's how much the fans. And it wasn't nothing. It was just the fans. Like, the team was cool and everything. It was just the fans. Like, let's go get at them and get up under their skin. So it's a different feeling, man.
How does that compare to the Swamp?
It's about the same way. It's between them and LSU is how close their fans are to you. So if they're reeling and they got you reeling back, if they're going and they got you reeling back, their fans are right there beside you. They're your number. They'll say stuff about your position coach, everything that's possible. But the Florida fans are really, really close to you. And I think it's between them and LSU that has the closest to the players' fan base.
And what needs to be pointed out here as former Tennessee athletes, you want that to happen because when Florida doesn't do that, you know they have your number.
It's not the same, man. Yeah, absolutely.
You know Tennessee's good at basketball when they're there 3 hours before the game.
Right.
When they're there stretching and warming up, and they said the students were on them all day.
That's when you know you got something.
Nighttime tip-off when they were out there.
They've got nothing to say. It means you're irrelevant.
Yeah, there you go.
And I like how Rick Barnes handled it because he's very much old school, and you can talk about this, Ron, but he said, look, I'm an old guy. I don't like it. I immediately addressed it after the game. But if I was a kid and I was playing, I would have loved it. He said, and I'm not out there all day with them hearing what they're hearing. He said, so it's not a big issue with us because I probably would have loved it if I were them and I were a kid playing the game also. And they didn't go to the players.
Most definitely.
Like he said, it was more about the fans, the students right behind them than it was the Florida players.
And see, that's how you know the fans are a little different in Florida. Like, you don't see this all the time. You don't see the throat slashes and things like that. But I remember vividly Tony Harris. Well, it's Tony Harris. You know what I mean? It's my boy. But, you know, he
Tony Harris
do
also
anything.
In street clothes went after the entire Kentucky bench.
Yeah, right down in the front of him. But I don't know if Texas has a rivalry like that in basketball. I know Oklahoma State and Oklahoma, they get after it pretty nasty. But as far as basketball, I don't know if Texas had to go through anything like that. So I do appreciate Coach Barnes saying he wasn't out there and still
having to play. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Because he didn't throw his guys under the bus right there. He's like, I didn't appreciate it. But if that was me, I think you win guys that way. There's, there's a certain way of going about that. And I think hearing that quote from him, I think that brings his players closer to him in a sense like that.
Yeah.
And you want to be rigid in a lot of ways and you want your team to be disciplined. But you guys can speak to this. If you were a recruit out there, there's the right way to play that.
Yeah.
If you're Rick Barnes, you can't go over the top with, I have told these guys we're going to get back and run stadium stairs and do this and that. Right. I mean, like you can say like, I don't like it, but I admit I'm an old guy.
Right.
But it's fine for them to do it as long as they don't cross a line.
And it is a rivalry. And that's great by Coach Barnes. I think Jerry Green in my day would have said the same thing. And then probably in the locker room, might have had his shirt off with a Bud Light up in the air doing the Gator Chomp. That was my guy.
Is this sustainable for Tennessee? Not this season. Clearly, they're going to be very good the rest of this season, barring injury. But with what Rick Barnes has built, You know they're going to lose Admiral Schofield and Kyle Alexander. Maybe they lose Grant Williams also to the NBA draft. But is he building something now with recruits they have coming in with some of the young guys where maybe they're not this good, but they're a tournament team year in and year out while he's there?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're definitely a tournament team. I think they finish with what he's built, the top three in the SEC every year. I think without having guys stay and getting one and dones, we were always in four or five or six, somewhere in that range regardless. So I think with the pride that they have and what he's built, I honestly think they'll be better next year. I think this is a great team they have this year, and the camaraderie they have is great. But next year should be really special also.
Ramon, it's a good time to be a Tennessee football fan, and people that hate Tennessee will probably say, boy, the offseason's always a good time to be a Tennessee football fan every single year. And I would actually agree with them on that.
Yeah, as of recently, yeah.
T. Martin coming back. You're a VFL. You're a big part of that program as a former player. We've heard from a lot of former players that love the move. You now have two former Tennessee players, yeah, in Terry Fair and T. Martin on that staff. Why is that important to former Tennessee players?
I think it's huge for us in a sense that you get some guys that know what it takes to win there. You get some guys that have won there also. And then you just have the sense of having a familiar face there. Somebody that no matter when you played at UT, you know those two guys' faces. You know that those two guys have they have the best interest of the university in mind. And I was listening to you guys coming in as you were saying, like, he's already out recruiting. I think T's been one of the top recruiters in the nation for the last 7-8 years. And I know for sure that because Juju Smith-Schuster is one of my teammates, said that T got him at USC.
So Adoree Jackson here for the Titans also. Yeah, he was the lead recruiter for Adoree.
You see what I'm saying? So you get a guy like Juju who we've seen turn into a very special guy. If that's the type of player he's going after. And we think this coaching staff is going to be what we think they are, what they say they are, what the history says it. I think UT is going to be in a really good spot. And I'm all for the coaches, but I think winning in university run called me after the Alabama game. And we were talking about that. It was like, man, our guys just look smaller compared to theirs.
Right.
And that's no offense to the strength coach. No, nobody. Yeah. It's just that the type of player that you get, it determines your wins and losses more than the coaching.
Well, and I've heard a story from a number of people. The first day Jeremy Pruitt got to Knoxville and met with his team, he looked around that meeting room and he asked one of his assistants, where are all the big guys? And he was being honest. He said, there are no big guys here.
And he's probably not just talking about
O-line. They had offensive and defensive linemen that were monsters. They just weren't recruiting big guys.
Yeah, look at Alabama's linebacker or Georgia's linebackers. Those jokers look like they can be DNs, but they're stand-up linebackers running 4.5, 4.4. So as much credit as we give these coaches on saying, yes, hey, they are great coaches, look what they've done. No, let's talk about those Jimmy and Joes out there. And that's what I don't want to say we're lacking, because there's no disrespect to the guys that are there. But
that's
when you have a good bit of that, then you got something special.
Mm-hmm. Well, in keeping the strength and conditioning coach, Craig Fitzgerald, how important is that? I mean, being a college player at that level, having consistency with a strength program, how big is that? Because you're probably around that guy more than the head coach, right?
You are. And in keeping the same guy, we at least know for a year or however long they're going to keep him, that the guys know his system. He know the guys' bodies. He know what the guys can take. He know the ins and outs of what the coach expect from them. And if you were to make a change, guess what that does? That new guy's going to come in and got to learn every new face. And in doing that, guess what he's going to do? He's going to run those guys, make those guys lift a crazy amount of weight to try to learn, okay, what's their limits? So I think them having the same strength coach gives them opportunity to be in his program.
Have you seen the weight room recently?
I saw
since he took over.
It's a party.
7-8 years ago.
So this is what I was really curious about, how this was going to work. When Craig Fitzgerald took over, he immediately ripped out every machine in there. I mean, this is just basic old school weights.
Yeah.
You go in there and he is all about lifting weights and getting stronger, and there's just plates everywhere. So every plyometric machine, like elliptical. I mean, the coaches may have something like that, but it is ripped out of the football facility. So I was thinking, if he does that in 1 year and completely changes everything and then leaves, that's a tough hit.
They better put those in storage somewhere.
And that's what I mean by keeping the same guy too. When a new guy comes in, every time we practice in Pittsburgh next to Pitt, guess what the head coach did the first week he was there? He changed the Pitt lettering to another letter. I'm like, Do you really have to do that? Like, they were out there ripping up the field. He changed the font on it. I'm like, this is so petty. But those guys
first
all.
First things first, we have to change that.
We got to change the font. Yeah. And that's what they did. So I'm glad that he has that in.
Is it a meaner font?
It's the cursive Pitt. You know, so that's.
Don't you agree, though, the Pitt needs to go back to those old, like, Johnny Majors uniforms? The blue. Royal blue with the yellow helmet?
They call them throwbacks now.
Yeah, but those uniforms are great. I go back to those days, back in the 80s, early 90s, before they went to the Vegas gold, the navy blue. I'm a fan of those.
I'm not a fan of the Steelers throwbacks.
Which ones?
The bumblebee looking.
The bumblebee ones, I think they're gone anyway.
I love the bumblebees. I got one.
Thank you, Mom. How'd you look in that?
I look good, man. I like stripes. I like stripes.
Was just it
like
slimming you guys. At all?
It's very much so. What about your stripes you got on today? Is that slimming? See, it works.
Nothing slimming, but at least these are vert.
It's like the 10-year challenge is happening before us. Paul looks like it in 2009.
There we go. Let's snap a picture for this AI.
Somebody just posted one, 2009, a big iceberg, and now.
Yeah. Gotta start recycling, baby.
Robo Foster and Rod Slay in studio with us. We'll hit the phones coming up. And also, we have a request from a Tennessee fan wanting Ron to go down memory lane with the Pearl Cone Band at Memorial Gym, since that's just around the corner again. Midday 180, served up by Wendy's.
Tune in this weekend for the NFL playoffs, exclusively on Nashville's home for the Super Bowl. 104.5 The Zone.
It is the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Ron Slay and Ramon Foster in studio with us. Joey is on the phone, and he'll lead us off this segment. What's up, Joey?
Oh, not a whole lot. I'm calling more of on a personal level. I've always enjoyed watching Ron play on the court when he was younger.
That's my man, Joey.
And the crazy thing is then watching Ramon playing football, and it was interesting to me when you married Keisha. I'm a friend of Jamil's. I don't know if I'm sure he's told you about me growing up. I've got a question, man. How do you handle him?
Oh, man, he's a good guy, man. What do you mean, how do I handle him? He's just
a really good guy, man. Who are we talking about?
We're talking about my wife's stepdad.
Oh, okay.
Talking about my wife's stepdad. Yeah. You just have to understand him, man. He's a really good guy.
I love the joy I want to talk about Ron and Ramon's career. talking about a stepdad.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Devin is next up. What's up, Devin?
Hey, how you doing today?
Great.
Yeah, I was just calling in. I'm very interested in the Ramon and Ron show being on the Cave, being on the on 104.5.
There we go.
So these gentlemen can bring some real positive outputs to our youth and some good information about sports.
You don't want them on from 10 to 2, do you?
Excuse me?
You don't want them on from 10 to 2, do you? You're not looking for them to replace us.
No answer is an answer.
It's a great answer. It's a great answer in some circles.
Paul, every war has casualties.
Sacrifice.
We're on the same side of this war.
Lay them up here, baby.
That concludes the Ron and Ramon podcast.
That's what I'm talking about, Devin.
Midday
now. Speak your mind, Devin. Speak your mind.
Oh, Devin, thank you for the call.
And there will be times we're in this, we'll get onto a tangent. We were getting onto a tangent on strength programs and talking about it during the break. What's the difference, Ramon, college football major program and then going on to the NFL? Is it more college, you're told exactly what to do? NFL, yes. It's more, hey, here's what you can do. You're making a bunch of money, so do it if you want. If not, it's on you.
No, it's not. I'll put this out there for the league. It's not do it if you want. You definitely have to do it. They hope by the time you get to the league.
Do they have someone there watching you do it?
Only during season. Most guys, if you see it, if you watch their Instagram, they're in different cities just doing their own thing because you know as a pro, I got to be at this point by this time of the year. So it's with being a pro in lifting, it's early on, you go hard. It doesn't matter what you're doing. But when you get older, you got to say, what am I deficient at? What do I need to do better here? How do I get better here? It's more or less that. Now, when you move to college, you don't have a choice. I was looking at the promo video from the Vols and the stuff that they're doing. I'm like, I don't believe I did that stuff in college. Like, it blows my mind the amount of stuff that guys in college do. What we did, we would run 31-10s and then have to do a fireman carry and then have to do a sand pit and then lift. Like, that was a, that was one day. Mm-hmm. So the difference between NFL and college is the development of the young man. To where college, you're really honing in on, like, what do I need to work on?
How much throwing up was there on that given day?
Oh, my gosh. It was guys in the middle of the turf just, like, laid out. You know, in the sense that they could not go anymore. And doing bear crawls. But it's for the better good of like, more mental toughness than anything. The physical part, we were able to do it. It's just, okay, when we get done with the 31-10s, guess what we got to do? We got to do a fireman carry. Okay, when we get done with that, then he trick you into it. We're done. No, we got sandpit. So it's the little stuff. And Johnny Long at UT was awesome for us.
How long can you take off of working out in order to be ready for the next season? Like, what's the down period like? Is it a month? Is it 2 weeks until you're back at it? Where you can legitimately get it going back again where you're ready for the next season?
It was about, how long did I take? About not even 2 weeks, 10 days maybe, because it's, being an athlete is one of those things where it's a tick in your mind. It's like, I got to do something. That's why so many guys don't want to leave the sport or
think about it.
I've had a schedule since I was in the sixth grade. Mm-hmm. That's lift, sports, sleep, back to school, doing the same exact thing. So that's why it's so hard for guys not to be done with playing ball. Guys want to play forever because why? This is a schedule I know in my life, and that's why it's so hard for guys to let go sometimes.
Do you have a trainer here, or do you do all this on your own?
I do have a trainer here. Yeah. My guy, James Wilson at Empower, man. I've had Ron and Keisha out there with us, and he is, can I just say, he's pure hell, man. I absolutely
in
hate.
In a good way.
Every workout
I tell him,
I hate you, but I appreciate you. Like, he's that guy that'll say, all right, we just got one more thing left. When little do I know, we'll have like five left. So I hate him, but I love him. He's a great dude.
Ron, you didn't even like to warm up before a game, did you?
No, it made no sense to me.
What was it, about 2 weeks for you to get ready for your play?
Like, you used up some energy?
No, for what?
Chad and them start tricking me for the Mount Juliet League and start telling me different times, and then I show up and be like, ah. They'd be like, ah, the game ran over a little bit. I know they told somebody to hold the clock until he get here.
We learned to tell him, like, it starts an hour before, 30 minutes before that. So,
but see,
Ron shows up, like, as the ball's being tipped, generally, and then he takes about 5 minutes to put his shoes on.
Yeah, gotta get ready.
Comes in with about 10 minutes left in the first half.
It's the build-up.
This is how you know he's grown as a player, though, too. When he posted a video about 2 weeks ago when he had to dunk the ball off the backboard.
I saw that.
Now, yeah,
That was nice.
He did it, okay? But the thing is, he did have a warm-up, okay?
Previously.
He was stretching. His quads had to be loose.
I can't be no fool.
Oh, man.
I've never been a fool.
So, as you can tell, he's evolved, too.
Definitely.
Out of necessity, though, not desire.
Yeah. Ron's good for about one good dunk a game in the competitive situation.
I can give you one.
He dunked on a guy pretty hardcore last year.
Especially if you're nearby.
That means that game.
I really inspire him to dunk on his team. He's like, I just feel like dunking on this guy.
That means that game is good for one good dunk a game, if that's the case.
No, you'd be surprised.
Really?
There are some dunkers in this league. There are some guys out there throwing down.
And we have some people get after us.
Oh yeah,
they got out those a couple of times.
That's right, and I do. I pity Ron in the situation of a rec league like this at times, because there are teams. It's like, here's my shot,
right? Yeah,
right, here's an SEC Player of the Year. We're gonna double team. We're gonna go low, and I'm like, come on.
And they thinking this at 37 years old. Like, come on, y'all.
Yeah.
Like, it's over,
away.
Man. It's over.
Well, see, that's the same thing that happens when I coach my boys in flag football. It's the exact same thing. Those coaches that are coaching aren't trying to win.
they're
trying to beat me.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've been telling the kids that I'm a coach this year, I've been telling RJ and Miles, hey, look, we got to go get it this year, okay? Because I see, you know, when you walk and shake the guy's hand at the end of like a little intramural flag football game, they shake mine really tight. And I'm like, okay, you beat me this time, okay? But I'm beating you in life today, okay? But I can't say that type of stuff, okay? So
don't worry, that's what I'm there for.
If the parents of my boys are going to be there this year, we will be right, okay?
You're not saying that, but Ron screaming from the sideline.
Most definitely.
I win life.
Yeah. How old are Bush Jones
kids?
Right there.
How old are your kids that are playing?
That is a Butch.
Champions.
Champions.
Yeah. That's the name of his team, actually. Life
Ron
champions.
Ramon podcast, people.
No, my kids are 10 and 6. They're 10 and 6. And my kids are just having fun.
I'm glad the name Butch Jones was uttered here on the show. How about Butch
Take
Jones just hanging out? He got offered a job at Maryland, turned it down. He's like,
he turned it down?
I'm just going to stay here. He's staying. It's reported now by ESPN. He's staying at Alabama, and he doesn't know what job he's going to have
yet. He really likes analyzing.
Oh, well, everyone left, so he's probably going to be like the tight ends coach or something. Right. He'll get a position.
Yeah, they do. They lost one of their biggest recruiters I saw. So.
But how about that move? Like, he's just, I'll just wait it out and let everybody else leave.
Maybe he knows his role. Yeah. I don't need a job. I'm just staying and hang out.
Yeah, he's still getting paid.
Clearly, Jimmy Sexton doesn't understand his role because he's leaking that he's a finalist for the West Virginia head coaching job.
Which stop.
Was
it.
Never the case.
You know what's funny about this situation? Like, for a while, I was like, who in the world is Lyle? Like, the fans on, like, Twitter, they call him Lyle. And I'm like, oh, my. I got to look at
his actual name.
Somewhere.
That's like calling Chipper Larry.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Which I'm in on.
See?
Ramon Foster, Ron Slay in studio with us. Coming up, Ron, let's get into playing at Memorial Gym. Tennessee's about to do that. And be thinking about the number of fans you'd like to put the over-under on for Orange next week.
Gotcha.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's.
Non-stop sports talk. Nashville's home for sports is now live and local. Every weekday from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. The Sports Station, 104.5 The Zone.
Ron Slay, if a player were to walk out on the Memorial Gym floor next week for the University of Tennessee and hear the Pearl Cone Band, what would their response be?
Their response probably would be like, dumb button.
Dump button.
Dumb button. Just leave it like that. Hey, man, it would be a remarkable feeling. I hope Vanderbilt can get in touch with us and, you know, since I'm over at Innsworth helping out. We don't have a band, but maybe we can get a couple of people go over there and sing or something in the stands and Jordan Bone.
Glee Club.
We'll take that. We definitely got a Glee Club. Like, that's a major feeling, man, especially when
Tim and Face Kids still go there, but they surely can sing, right?
Hey, man, it's nothing like it, man. You go out there and you see it turns into a home court. You already don't want to lose, and you can see it last year, like when, the Vols were playing in Memorial Gym after the game. Like, everybody was pouring their bone. Like, he did have a breakout game that game, you know, and kind of igniting him for the rest of the season. But going into it, and he's already cooking as he is right now, I think it's going to be a special time for him.
Are you going to the game?
Almost definitely. Coach Bowers, if you listen to, man, we got to end early on Wednesday, buddy. We are ending early on Wednesday.
How many fans for Tennessee will be there?
I say at least 70%. 70% of the crowd will be Tennessee. Last year, it was amazing. I always saw it for the Lady Vols games when I went there and watched them play. But for the men's last year, I was pretty amazing, man. Like, Vandy tried to get on a run during the game, and the Tennessee fans drowned them out with Rocky Top. Like, that was – I've never seen that in Memorial Gym, so I expect it to be even more this year.
Big Orange Mac on Twitter says, please ask Ramon and Ron to explain to young listeners what it means to be from Tennessee and then attend UT as an athlete. Because, and you guys see this, there is a growing disconnect with young people in the state now because they've been pretty far removed from Tennessee being really good in football. At least basketball is a different story right now.
You want to take that?
Yeah, I'll take this one over because I'm very passionate.
Let me a little sandwich. Leave me a corner.
For me, playing at the University of Tennessee was huge in the sense that, number one, I get a chance to represent my own state team, the team that should be running the state, although we lost to Vandy this year. So hats off to them for getting that
three straight years, by the way.
No big deal, but hey, screw it. But I fully, I fully enjoyed playing there, too. And I think people look at the University of Tennessee as, oh, they only have Tennessee guys there. When I went to UT, I had one of my best friends from Virginia, one of them from Georgia, South Carolina, New Jersey. Tennessee is like a melting pot for guys to be able to come in. So it's not like you're going to have to just be accustomed to what Tennessee guys want to do. It's huge for you to be able to go there and represent your state. And also, it's one of the best universities in the country as far as the facilities, what we're trying to do there. I truly enjoyed it. And I hate seeing recruits, especially high recruits, go to Alabama or Georgia. I'm still like upset with the kid that left Knoxville that went to Georgia. He's the guard, man. But I get it.
Let me piggyback on him.
Yeah, go ahead.
I also think that the guys that are up there recruiting, they have to do a better job, like Coach Foreman is doing now, as far as bringing back guys that are recognizable to the guys growing up here in the state of Tennessee. Like, I wasn't a big Tennessee fan. I grew up kind of an Arkansas guy because I was, for me, with Scotty Thurman, Corliss Williamson. I liked the 40 Minutes of Hell. Like, that was impressive to me. So when I got to getting recruited and things of that nature, I got to see Corey Allen coming back, heard about Allen Houston, but then I saw the number one player in the nation in the South was Vincent Yarbrough. And so going up against him, I got to be like, man, what is he going up to UT for? Then I noticed that Kentucky, Isaiah Victor was coming from Kentucky. Tony Harris was huge to me, you know what I mean? And he was coming from Memphis going to UT. So
I remember watching him in the state tournament. He was electric.
Oh, my gosh, man.
Memphis East.
That man was different, man. So that I think that's a big part of it. And I think also, like, for Vanderbilt, what could have changed their whole narrative is if they would have got Ron Mercer to go to Vanderbilt. If somehow they would have, I don't know, if lowered the stand, whatever had to happen, it had to happen.
Didn't he, like, apply through the wrong school?
Never.
Like, he went to the Peabody Business School and it, like, went through the wrong department and they rejected him?
Man, that's
like, if
snowball
it would have gone
effect.
To where the athletes apply, it would have been fine, but it went into the wrong pot, apparently, or something like that happened. It was really weird.
See, that, and the problem, man, that would have started a snowball effect that, who knows where Vandy's basketball would be right now. It's a great tradition, but with a Ron Mercer there coming to change the culture and the other guys following behind him, I think that's what we got to do with Corey Allen and guys like that up at UT. So they were coming back in the summer. We playing pickup with them. It's kind of automatic, you know what I'm saying? So we had good guys representing University of Tennessee that pulled us in, and I didn't want to see nothing more than all of my friends and that I grew up with, family, like Ramon and them going to UT. When I heard he was going to UT, I was like, I get to go there 4 more years. It's on for me.
And it was. If you didn't go to Tennessee, where were you going?
It might have been Arkansas, man. Hey, it was something about Nolan Richardson. It was something about him. And then also when I got to Oak Hill, I tried to take my commitment back because I felt like I wasn't getting shown any love by Tennessee. You know what I'm saying? Like Maryland had not Pete Gillen,
Williams.
Gary Williams coming to see Steve Blake every weekend, Tubby coming to see Cliff Hawkins, Pete Gillen coming from Virginia to see Travis Watson. I'm like, man, ain't nobody been up here. So I went and talked to Coach Smith. I was like, hey, man, I'm going to be honest. We need to open this thing back up, man. I'm kind of feeling Kentucky. You know, Coach Smith and his voice, Slay Dog. I don't know it's Slay Dog. Let's think about it for a night. So, Steph, if you're listening, call Coach Smith, man, and tell Tennessee to call him and thank him, because ain't no telling what would have happened if he ain't give me some night to think about it. But the coaches got up there the next day, and it was back on.
You mentioned the Lady Vols. Mm. What do you think of the job Holly Warlick is or is not doing? Chad has very strong thoughts on this.
Well, I hate to get persuaded by Chad's thoughts right now. So
give us yours. We'll see if they align.
I think, man, I love Holly. One, for her to step into those shoes of Pat Summitt, you know what I mean? That was huge. And I don't think you could have got anybody to do that other than her or somebody that's been around the program. I think somehow she finds a way, tournament time, to turn it on and get the girls to plan and getting the best out of them. I think somehow, some way, she has to find it for the regular season. I think that's her only fault. December through the end of January is always a problem for her. But after that point, you know,
that's
they
pretty big problem.
That's
a huge problem. It has to do with your ranking for that tournament.
It's a huge problem. But what's different in basketball and football? In basketball, you're always remembered by what you do at the end.
Yeah, but what you do at the end, you get your seeding from the period of time that you're talking
about. Very true. But if she goes to the championship at SEC tournament and win it or just finish the second, sometimes it's forgotten because who are you going to go out there and get?
She's not a good coach. Let's let me sum this up. She's not doing.
Don't do that too.
She's not doing a good job. They're going historically bad.
Yeah, they are.
And a lot of
three in a row. Three games in a row is. And I had some Lady Vols I talked to, and they were like, "How do you lose?" Then and they're at different schools. How do you lose three in a row? Like Holly's breaking all the records.
In a bad way.
It's one thing to just kind of roll the ball out and let players be players, but her players have no basketball IQ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're getting the ball with 3 seconds of the shot clock, not knowing it. They're taking terrible shots.
Right.
They're not getting to the right people. And that's a direct reflection on her at some point.
True. And I think somehow they got to get it to transfer, man. I know Bridget Gordon is was a great player in her day. Sharonda Reeves, like the coaching staff, Beaumont, they got a great coaching staff. Somehow they got to get it to transfer. I would love to get up there and see some practices so I can know firsthand. But I know Holly's all in, and somehow I got to get turned around.
Ramon, Tennessee reported their secondary violations to the NCAA, and the Knox News Sentinel got a hold of those today. One of those secondary violations was Philip Fulmer illegally coaching offensive linemen in practice that he couldn't help himself, basically, and they had to they self-reported right after the practice that he jumped in with some personal instruction with two, I think, offensive guards. Does that surprise you at all?
Does not at all. But that goes into his passion of what he wants for their university. And for them to self-report it that quick is, I think that was their way of saying, hey, coach, back up a little bit. You know, they didn't want to directly tell him because of who he is and what he's done. But I think that was more or less them saying, hey, coach, we got this from here on out.
Right. But
it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, you can't knock him one to win.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm walking past a guy and he's doing a post move and it's looking terrible, I'm jumping in there, Coach. You got to kick me on out.
That's why they shouldn't let you in.
This is a good point.
Let that man in.
Great point.
He's going to get us in trouble.
Hey, Yves Pons, I don't speak French, but please come over here. Let me show you how to work that move.
Parlez-vous.
The guy spent time in Europe. He's got a passport.
We'll know it.
Ron Slay and Ramon Foster have been our guests in studio both hours, last week and this week, just flew by. Thank you, guys.
They did.
For dropping in.
Open invitation for this hour.
Appreciate that. Appreciate you guys having us. Ron Slam Ramon podcast. I don't know if we want Ramon, live from the cave.
People, way.
Get on your phones. Get out here. 615-737-1045.
That's it.
Look at me, man.
Look at me, man.
Look at me. Look at me.
Paul. It's only been 7 years.
They're about to boot you, Paul.
Chad said it. Has to be a sacrifice somewhere. Lay him up on the table, baby.
He was letting us know it wasn't him.
We'll put an apple in your mouth, Paul.
I needed you for the last 2 months, but I should have been in the hospital.
Add that to Paul's file. Midday 180 served up my window.